Prapta, who have obtained,
na jatim,
a birth in human society,
to certainly,
in this land of Bharatvarsha,
those who,
also, Jantavaha, the living beings, Jnana, with knowledge, Kriya,
with activities,
Dravya,
of ingredients,
Kalapa,
with a collection,
Sambritam,
full.
Not.
Vai,
certainly.
Yateran,
endeavor.
Apuna bhavaya,
for the position of immortality.
Such persons.
Bhoyaha, again.
Vanauka, birds.
Iva, like.
Yanti, go.
Bandhanam, to bondage. Translation. Bharatvarsha offers the proper land and circumstances in which to execute devotional service, which can free one from the results of jnana and karma. If one obtains a human body in the land of Bharatvarsha with clear sensory organs with which to execute the Sankirtan Yajna, but in spite of this opportunity, he does not take to devotional service, he is certainly liberated. He is certainly like liberated forest animals and birds that are careless and are therefore again bound by a hunter. Very interesting way to put it. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the land of Bharatvarsha, one can very easily perform the Sankirtan Yajna, which consists of Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnoho, or one can perform other methods of devotional service such as Smaranam, Mandanam, Archanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, and Atmanivedanam. In Bharatvarsha, one has the opportunity to visit many holy places, especially Lord Chaitanya's birth site and Lord Krishna's birth site, Navadvip and Vrindavan, where there are many pure devotees who have no desire other than to execute devotional service. Anya vilashita shunyam jnana karma jnanavritam. And one may thus become free from the bondage of material conditions. Other paths, such as the path of jnana and the path of karma, are not very profitable. Pious activities can elevate one to the higher planetary systems. And by speculative knowledge, one can merge into the Brahman existence. But that is not real profit, for one has to come down again, even from the liberated condition of being merged in Brahman, and certainly one must come down from the heavenly kingdom. One should endeavor to go back home, back to Godhead. Yanti mam yajino pimam. Otherwise, there is no difference between human life and the lives of jungle animals and birds. Animals and birds also have freedom, but because of their lower birth, they cannot use it. Taking advantage of all the facilities offered to him, a human being who has taken birth in the land of Bharatvarsha should become a fully enlightened devotee and go back to Godhead. This is the subject matter of the Krishna consciousness movement. The inhabitants of places other than Bharatvarsha, like Houston, Texas, have facilities for material enjoyment, but they do not have the same facility to take to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has advised that one who has taken his birth as a human being in Bharatvarsha must first realize himself as a part and parcel of Krishna, and after taking to Krishna consciousness, he must distribute this knowledge all over the world, not just Houston, Texas. I did a little editing there. It's okay. Prapta nrajatim tviha je cha jantavo jnana kriya dravyat kalapa samritam navai janteran apunar bhavayate bhuyo vanauka eva yanti bandhanam. Bharatvarsha offers the proper land and circumstances in which to execute devotional service, which can free one from the results of jnana and karma. If one obtains a human body in the land of Bharatvarsha with clear sensory organs with which to execute the Sankirtan Yajna, but in spite of this opportunity does not take to devotional service, he is clearly like liberated forest animals and birds that are careless and are therefore again bound by a hunter. Sounds very much like Lord Chaitanya's instruction, which is just stated in different language. It's Narada Muni speaking, as we discussed yesterday. He's speaking to a king. Narada has descended to this realm where not just a king but one of the Manus, thank you. Sarvani Manu. Sars is Vaivasvata Manu. And Sarvani Manu is, if I'm not mistaken, just before. Anyway, one of the 14 Manus. Sarvani Manu. So this section is specific to glorification of Bharatvarsha. And the only reference in this verse is iha. It's a pronoun referring to that place that Narada is speaking about, Bharatvarsha. So the picture of Bharatvarsha, as we've heard Srila Prabhupada say over and over, it meant the whole planet. That's the good news. Houston, Texas is part of the planet. But over a period of time, geopolitical things started happening, and now it's a subcontinent in Central Asia. And the way that Srila Prabhupada is presenting this purport is more towards the subcontinent of Central Asia, today's India. And it's appropriate in that the holy places, the places where the personality of Godhead appeared, his janma, janma divyam, appears in that location and consistently over and over. Now why? One answer might be, it's just the mythology of India. And another answer is, it's the piety of India. the piety of India, the place is such a place that the Supreme Lord is attracted to make his appearance there. And he makes his appearance for the pleasure of his pure devotees who are situated wherever they may be situated. And because the strength of devotion to the personality of Godhead is so elevated in Bharatvarsha, or the present day land of India, the Lord's appearance, there's many, many, many such appearances. Because people were so elevated, spiritually elevated, pure in devotional service, recipients of the association of previous perfected souls, and inspiring them, they became so similarly perfected. But the indication of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which Srila Prabhupada is expanding from what the verse says, there is a mandate. Become perfect and give that same opportunity to others, not just in Bharatvarsha. So when all of you who are born in India, there's many who are in the assembly here, doesn't say only men, all of you who are born in India, we can't count Chicago and New York and Guyana, we can, but born in India, or Minneapolis or Minnesota, where is it? Tatavit? Minneapolis. Okay. Those don't count. We don't have the same mandate. We're like, got a reprieve. Wherever else you might be born. But those of you born in India, it's the weight is on your shoulders and on your head, and the instruction is there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, become perfect. Pause. Not just take up devotional service, but become perfect through the medium of devotional service. And if that wasn't enough, then go all over the world. Of course, now you can go all over the world, just get on the internet and go all over the world. But giving the message, giving information is one thing. Connecting with individuals in such a way that they feel the connection, they feel guided, that's another thing. Of course, if you become a perfected soul, just like Srila Prabhupada through his books, even after his physical presence, who can physically go and associate with Prabhupada today, but still through his Bhaktivedanta purports, persons are story after story after story being elevated. Persons who have not had any association, physical association with devotees, their lives have become greatly spiritually elevated. There's nice such stories. So, the sound vibration, even when recorded, is recorded in a literature form, is so special. We'll spin out on that one a little bit for just a bit. One of the things that Prabhupada encountered as a preacher, which I've encountered also, is people say, oh, Arjun was so fortunate, he was able to associate with Krishna and he became perfected. I'll never have the chance to associate with Krishna. So, what to do? I'll never become spiritually advanced. And Prabhupada would say, no, that Krishna is speaking to Arjun in Bhagavad Gita. When Krishna says to Arjun, surrender unto me, and someone else says, Krishna said, surrender unto him, unto Krishna, that's the same. That's Krishna speaking. Many times I've heard that. One time it was in Mayapur, and Prabhupada said it in a Bhagavatam class in the morning, three times. He said it three times, And he couldn't go on speaking. He started to go on speaking and he entered into a trance. Were you there, Shankar Pandit?
No.
It was incredible. Krishna says, surrender unto me. The devotee says, surrender unto Krishna. It is Krishna speaking. Said it three times. And then, this is what I saw. Prabhupada stopped speaking. All the muscles in his face slackened. His body started moving like a stick in the wind. He was in trance. And the devotees didn't know what to do. What do you do when your spiritual master goes into trance? Right on the Bhagavatam, asana. So Hansaduda stood up, took the mridanga, and very softly started chanting Hare Krishna. And after a little bit, I don't recall how long, it seemed like a long time, Prabhupada opened his eyes, his body sat up straight again, opened his eyes, looked around the room, got up off the Vyasasana, went upstairs, end of the class. Pretty awesome. Subjectively, it seemed to me, he became so absorbed in Krishna was speaking when he was speaking, the intensity of contemplation upon just being nimitta matram bhavya savya sachin, just becoming Krishna's instrument. And Krishna was speaking through him. So by saying, surrender unto Krishna, how many times have we heard that? Krishna speaking. So it was, the explanation was, it's not that we don't have the opportunity like Arjuna had the opportunity. So Krishna speaking, especially when it's transmitted through a transparent medium, a transparent instrument, not a broken one or a speculative one or a fruitive one or an imaginative one, but a transparent one. As the Bhaktivedanta purports are like that. They're, again, Prabhupada said, why are people mad after these books? He asked the question that he answered, because they're presented from realization. There's too much abundant speculative information out there in the universe, in the spiritual marketplace in particular. Speculative information abundant. But realization is another thing, and that realization acts upon one who's eager to have something genuine. So the point here is that it's not just through the medium of these printed literatures and the medium of recorded sound vibrations, because that's what printed literature is, just another stage of recorded sound vibration. It's Shabda Brahman. And Shabda Brahman, when it touches the soul, then it awakens the soul. So many times you've heard this example. When asleep, one sense is still alert. That's the hearing. So we can say, my dear Prabhu, time for Mangal Arati, or the house is on fire, or whatever it is. And because the sound entering the ear is still awake, even though everything else is in a resting state, that's how to awaken up an individual. And similarly, spiritually, to awaken through the whole Vedic process is based upon sound vibration. So sound vibration, or recorded sound vibration, it's sound vibration. And therefore, we have this idea that the scripture is holy or sacred or worshipable. And it's not just our tradition, the Christian tradition, the Holy Bible, the Quran is holy. And when, little anecdotal thing, when we purchased the present ISKCON temple in Brooklyn, The previous owners was Temple Mount Sinai, was a Jewish group. And they didn't like it because the neighborhood. So that was why they wanted, that was their motivation for selling. They wanted to go into another nicer neighborhood. So we bought the house, bought the temple. And when we went in, there's the ground floor and then there's a second floor, now where we have offices. But they had, besides the sanctuary, where they had the large congregation, up here on the second floor was another space for worship specifically of the scripture. And it was, you know, I don't know exactly how they used it, but long, narrow building, area. And then up was a little platform, and up on the platform was another platform, and up on that platform was the scripture. And they revere the scripture as holy. And Sikhs and so forth. It's the scripture is holy. What's holy? You analyze from material perspective. It's tree and minerals and cotton, some pigments. Material. So how does it become sacred? Because it's God's word, or it's Shabda Brahman, it's transcendental knowledge, sound vibration that's been recorded and then been presented in this form. So it's not the elements themselves are sacred, but because they're again connected to glorification of the Supreme, their sacredness is restored. And meaning the original connection of things that come from the source of those things is reestablished by that sound vibration, and therefore coming in touch with them. As Srila Prabhupada said, if they read one verse, if they read one sentence, if they just touch the book, just touch the book. My dear sir, you don't want the book, just touch it. It's spiritually powerful. What to speak of, go further, go further. And the mandate is, in this wonderful land of Bharat Varsha, those of you that have taken birth in Bharat Varsha, you have a very important mission amongst all humans that have taken birth somewhere. You have a very important mission. Please feel the importance of that mission. Now we'll go the other direction, and Prabhupada would say, because that is not being taken up, therefore we have the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, where persons from all over the world not born in Bharat Varsha are taking up the mission, doing whatever we can do. And the fact of the matter is, souls, whether born in Bharat Varsha or Minneapolis or Guyana or Texas or New York or wherever else people are born from, the souls are not different. It's not, there's Bharat Varsha souls and then there's the other kind. Some religions have that idea, won't go into it. There's the real one and then there's everybody else. Two different categories of souls. Anyway, that's not our understanding. And because the sound vibration acts, it doesn't matter where the body is born or where we are doing this activity of hearing and chanting, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, it's the quality of the broadcast of that message and the quality of our reception of that message has the potency to awaken the soul and fulfill all these nice obligations. Otherwise, the message of the verses specifically, whatever it is, whatever freedom it is that we may wish to accomplish, it's no better than the freedom of the forest animal or birds, because there's some freedom for a forest animal and for birds. But very limited, certainly not of the freed from the bondage of karma, free from the impulses of the modes of nature, completely caught up in the karma and the impulses of modes of nature, guna and karma, completely. What freedom? So elevation by karma and elevation by gyan, what's the freedom? The real freedom, such a nice purport in description of Narada's position by dint of his contact with perfected souls, the Bhakti Vedantas, and his following instructions that they had given him as a small boy. Throughout his whole life, he became perfected. Perfected. And now, in this day of Brahma, he's acting with complete freedom. Via complete submission, he has complete freedom. So there's control, or there's control. We can pick between the internal energy and the external energy. And the internal energy is through the medium of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting. That's our primary means, Bhagavad Dharma. And through submission to the hearing process, one can achieve complete freedom. It's paradoxical. And we need to submit to the internal potency to get freedom from the external potency. But we don't, it doesn't look like that. It looks like I have to give up my independence in order to get independence. But we're not independent, we're not independent. But complete freedom means the full empowerment of the personality of Godhead. The fullness of the capacity of a jiva soul for knowledge, for happiness, for eternal existence, being conscious of that eternal existence at all times. Not even the temporary merging into the Brahmajyoti and then fall down after some time, because one's intelligence, avishuddha buddhiya, one's intelligence is not fully purified. So, the circumstances, the place, the paraphernalia, jnana kriya dravya, it's there. Just reach out. It's there. And what will help us access it properly is proper hearing and chanting. Strong foundation for each one of us, wherever you're born. Each one of us should have strong foundation in hearing and chanting. Every day. Every day. We've got a lot of purification required. So every day, without fail, strong hearing and chanting program, cleansing the soul, freeing the soul from the contamination of material contact, staying protected from further ongoing influence of being in the material atmosphere, and awakening completely our innate loving attraction for Krishna. Jetu Darpanam Arjanam Bhavamahadavani Nivapanam Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam Vidyavadu Jivanam. I came across a very beautiful rendering of these elements of the first verse of Shikshastakam, printed in Shivaram Swami's book on chanting. Very, very nice. I just paraphrased the first three. Very nice. It's not a literal translation, it's a essence translation. And we've been given this something very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. And if we chant and hear together, more powerful. It's a commercial. Buy one. Hearing and chanting is a great product. Stronger than dirt. And this is what Narada is encouraging, the appreciation of Sarvani Muni. Hope I have it right. Sarvani Manu. And us take this process very carefully. It has great fortune, great blessings. Apply it nicely. Give the opportunity to others as widely as you can. Hare Krishna. Any discussion? Yes. You like that one. It's a nice one. Let us stay away from the poison and take prasadam instead. Yes?
Maharaj, you cited the example of Srila Prabhupada speaking Srimad Bhagavatam in Mayapur, I think, into a deep trance.
Yeah.
There's a follow-up story to that.
Okay.
As you said, the devotees were somewhat uncertain what to do when Srila Prabhupada was entering trance. One devotee started performing kirtan. So when Srila Prabhupada left, there was a discussion that this devotee should not disturb Srila Prabhupada's mood
Performing
kirtan.
So there's always controversy over anything.
Exactly. So Brahmananda at that time was Srila Prabhupada's secretary.
Uh-huh.
So collectively, the devotee said, you go and approach Srila Prabhupada. As to whether the behavior of this devotee performing kirtan was the correct thing to do. So Brahmananda said, he approached Srila Prabhupada later that same day and said, Srila Prabhupada, this morning when you were giving the Srimad Bhagavatam class, you entered into a samadhi trance and the devotees didn't know what to do. And this devotee did kirtan. We were wondering, was that correct? And according to Brahmananda, who related this follow-up story, he said Srila Prabhupada very humbly, almost embarrassingly, just kind of dismissed it as insignificant. And he said, I do not do that very often. And Brahmananda said, yes, Srila Prabhupada, we know that, but was it correct to perform kirtan? And again he said, Prabhupada just said, yes, just chant Hare Krishna. And then Prabhupada immediately changed his subject. But Prabhupada said, I don't do that very often.
I think that's a nice note to end our morning class. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.